unmute. Again, we'd like to say happy birthday to all those celebrating during the month of June. Welcome to Good Hope. If you are visiting Good Hope, we would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to our service. We are so happy you are here. Let us give God glory and honor for the opportunity that He has given us to be here today to share His word and Christian love. Again, you are welcome.
Thank you.
Please continue to pray for our sick and shut-ins and any bereaved families that we may have. This concludes the announcement.
Amen.
Well, let the church say amen. 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 Again, I do want to reiterate Sister Cunningham's welcome to all of you. Get those of you who may be worshiping with us today, visiting. And we want to say a very special welcome to our special guest today. That is Linnell Pickett Jr. and his wife, Joe Fanny. Linnell is Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Army, serving in Okinawa, in Japan, and Linnell, it is such a joy and delight to have you and Yoko with us, and we're so excited about it. Sister Pickett just been beaming all week long. We're going, amen, from Orlando this morning. Ren looked at me this morning and said, "That's your twin." He even has a haircut. I said, the difference is Linnell can grow a full head of hair. I can't. So again, welcome to all of our guests. Welcome, son. It is so good to have you and Yoko with us today.
Amen.
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 Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The psalmist said, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you people. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing, and know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." God, our Heavenly Father, we come proclaiming that, yes, we are indeed Your people. And we are so glad and privileged and honored to be able to say that You are our Father and we are Your family. So, Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit will feel welcome in this place over the next hour or so. Lord, that He will not only feel welcome in this place, but, Lord, that He will feel welcome in our hearts and our lives. Search us, O God. Teach us today. And, Lord, bless us, because we have come to lift up the name of Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's in His name that we pray. And God's people together said, amen.
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 Thank you.
Nehemiah chapter 8. Good. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on that first day of the seventh month. And then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for this purpose, and beside him, at his right hand, stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and at his left hand stood Padiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashum, Hashbadanana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 8. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. May God add his blessing to the hearing and reading of his holy scripture.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavens.
Yeah.
A new wind is blowing right now. We're making our
Before your throne of grace this morning, thanking you, Father, for the battles that you have gone before us, Father, and fought and brought us to and through. So we just praise you this morning. If we don't say nothing else, and if you don't do another thing, Father, you've already done enough. So we just say thank you for the battles that have already been won. We know there are more battles to come. We just want to be appreciative of the battles that you have already fought and been won. So we say thank you. The battles of addiction. The battles of homelessness. Father, the battles, Father, we're talking the battles of sickness. To the point, Father, where the doctors have said they've done all that they can do. And when we called on the name of Jesus, Father, you showed up and you showed out. You won the battle over death. Jesus did it 2,000 years ago, took the sting out of death. So we say thank you right now. Father, we're praising you. It's been a battle this week, Father. There have been sickness and heartaches. There have been letdowns and heartbreaks. But Father, as we sit here today, we praise you because the battle has been won. And we praise you this morning. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for our 5:45 a.m. prayer group, Father. We've been praying all week, starting from Monday through Friday, then on intercessory prayer from 6 to 6:30. Lifting those names up to you. Look what you did, Father. You showed up and you showed out. Father, you removed pressure from some eyes of some of the members. Father, you healed some from their sick bed. You delivered others who were traveling, Father. Father, you made a way out of no way. Father, you dried tears for those who were crying, for those who are lost. Father, you just showed up and you showed out. You stay true to your word that you never leave us nor forsake us. You stay true to your word that you are right there with us in our dark places and tight spaces, Father. You are our light in the middle of our darkness, Father. As we continue to struggle, we know, Father, that you never lost a battle and that you're right there in the midst of it. So we praise you this morning. Father, I pray right now for everyone listening to my voice right now, Father, for whatever they're in need of. For those, Father, those unspoken prayers. We know those prayers that are just, they feel too bad to say out loud, Father, but you know, Father. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus wipes away all of the dirt. All of the stains. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now. We give you glory, Father. And we just say, have your will and have your way in this worship service. Father, we thank you for the nail, Julie and his wife, Uncle Father, traveling all the way across the waters from Japan, Father. We praise you this morning, Father. Oh, we know it was the skillfulness of the pilots, but they can't keep the airplane in the air, Father. There was nobody but you. I don't care how skilled they are and how many years they've been flying. You aerodynamically kept it up, Father. Across those waters, you landed them here safely. And we say hallelujah. So, Father, we praise you this morning. Just want to thank you, Father. Felt pretty low this week, Father. Fell sick and just did not feel well, but Father, you broke it through, Father. And I just praise you right now, Father. I just praise you right now, Lord. I thank you for my wife who was right there by my side, Lord. I thank you for her being there, not concerned if it was contagious or not. She stayed right there in the thick of it, Father. You kept her protected. Father, I pray for all those who are dealing with illnesses right now. I just plead the blood of Jesus over them. Nobody but you, Lord. We just thank you right now. You are a healer, Father. Father, there's some hurting hearts in here this morning, Lord. There's some hurting hearts, Father. We just pray that you would just give them that peace that Paul speaks about. That peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. Comfort them and be with them, Father. For those who have lost loved ones, for those who are struggling with health issues, for all that you've done, all that they're doing, Lord, we just thank you right now, Father, for your peace. Father, we thank you for reaching out and touching our members who were in need this week. That was nobody but you, Lord. Father, you are a way maker. My wife said you're a miracle worker. And then on top of that, Father, she said you're a promise keeper. We praise you this morning. Father, now as we get ready to hear the word, I just want to thank you for the man of God who's going to bring the bread of the word of God to the people of God. As he break the bread of life, Father, continue the anointing on his life. We thank you for he and his wife. And we thank you for bringing them back, Father. They traveled to South Carolina, Lord, here's what they needed to do. You brought them back here. And on top of that, you brought them back with a word. So, Father, we just turn this service over to you. Continue to bless and have your will and have your way. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Church, say amen. Amen. marriage meeting in the scripture. Thank you so much to small and quiet song. The military alley of command in the Air Force used to say their slogan was on time, on target.
All right.
Brother Jay Rose and Jacob Small is taking care of the sound this morning. Our production is this. Message goes all around the world, locally and globally. We thank you so very much. Amen. And Sister Tarsha Cunningham, we got those announcements up that day. You're doing a beautiful job. That's creativity, y'all. We appreciate it so much. God, we thank you so much for another opportunity to worship you.
Thanks, God.
Father, we pray today that our worship will be in spirit and in truth. All we do is say, we bring your name, glory, honor, and praise. Now, Father, we pray that you will speak to us, for we, your people, need to hear word today. Now, we're turning our attention to heaven, waiting in great anticipation you to proclaim unto us the great riches of your word. May you be glorified, your people blessed, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As withers the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever, so says Isaiah 48:8.
Yeah.
On last week, I began a 3-part series entitled Habits of Highly Effective Christians. And so in this series, I'm going to just give you 3 habits of highly effective Christians. There are others, but these are 3 primary. Well, last week, we dealt with prayer. We talked about prayer.
Yes.
Highly effective habits of highly effective Christians. If you're going to be a high-octane Christian, going to be a Christian that impacts, cultural impact, a Christian that's going to make a difference, you're going to have to pray. You have to pray. Throughout scripture talks about prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Jesus went away and he prayed. So when you find highly effective Christians, you will have a powerful prayer life. A habit is something that you do over and over again. So today I'm just going to deal with one habit, and that is the habit of reading your Bible.
Right.
You're going to be a highly effective Christian. You're going to make an impact for the kingdom of God. If you're going to be more than just mundane, if you're going to effectively bring about change and promote the kingdom of God for his glory and honor, you're going to have to be a student of the book. You're going to have to stay in the book. Pastor Harris read beautiful, and I commend you for those names.
Amen.
We all know Pastor Harris can read words.
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, you give it to Pastor Harris, he's going to run a touchdown every time. Just that verse 8 in the text. So they read distinctly from the book. They read distinctly from the book in the law of God. And they gave the sense, they gave the understanding, and they helped the people to understand the reading. They gave the meaning, and they helped the people to understand the reading. High habits of highly effective Christians. Those of you who are in the habit of reading your Bible regularly, but I mean daily, will find yourselves functioning as highly effective followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read your Bible on a regular basis, you're going to find yourself functioning at a highly effective level. And let me hasten to say here, reading the Bible means more than just intellectually reading to gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding and even discernment.
reading the Bible also means applying the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the discernment that you get. That reading is an expansive definition. It means not only are you consuming knowledge, but you are living out, you are acting out, you are putting the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the discernment that you get from the Bible, you are putting it in practice every day. You're not just reading it and then putting it back on the shelf or putting it back on the table. You're not just reading because of a requirement to read, but you're reading so that you can gain the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding from the Word of God, and then in turn, you're going to put into practice what you have read. That makes the difference. That's the reason why when we read the Word of God, it changes the culture, it changes the climate of where we are, and it changes who we are. When we read this Word, it changes things.
Right.
Now, I tell you, I've heard many pastors, and I've been in meetings myself that have just been outrageous. You know, if you didn't know you had a church, you had a meeting, and if you didn't know, you were like, what in the world is going on? But I assure you, and I share this with my friends who are pastors, even going into a church for the first time, you come again. The first thing you need to do is get them to read through the Bible together.
Amen.
Because those who read into the Bible, when they come to a meeting, it's a whole different atmosphere. Because they're bringing the knowledge of the Word of God, and they're putting the Word of God into practice in the meeting. They know how to approach issues, complex issues, hard issues, not from a worldly framework, but from the Word of God. The whole atmosphere of the church changes when people are reading the Bible.
That's right.
I can walk into the church, I can be in a congregation, I can be there just a little while, and I can tell if the people are Bible readers.
All right. That's right.
It changes the culture, it changes the climate. Dr. Charles Stanley, who's now in heaven, wisely said, approach scripture with an honest attitude. And then he says, when you come to scripture, this is what you need to do. Meditate on scripture.
Yeah.
Read it as you think about it. Meditate it. Think about it. I love that about Mary. I mean, when the angel spoke to her, she pondered the things in the heart. She thought about it. She meditated on it. Meditate. Dr. Stanley says, when you come to this word, meditate on the scripture. Then he said this, expect God to speak to you. When you pick up your Bibles and begin to read, you expect God to speak to you. God, I'm here in your presence. I'm reading your word. I'm not going through an exercise of futility. I am expecting you to speak to me. How many of you know that when you read the word of God, God is speaking directly to you? How many of you have gone into your reading time and read a passage that helped you throughout the day and spoke directly to your need? Dr. Stanley said, expect God to speak to you. And then he says this. This is key. He says, then apply what you read. Apply what you study. How many of you, when you visit a doctor, a specialist, or whatever, you know they study. They got the degrees hanging on the wall, many of them. But what you want them to do in your process is that you want them to apply all of this good information that they've gotten from medical school and from seminar and study. You want them to apply that to you. You fly. The pilot might, he may be in school, he or she been in school, but when they're up in the air, I want them to be applying what they have learned so that we can get to where we going by the grace of God. A.W. Tozer, great theologian, wrote, nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian, end quote. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. In other words, Tozer is saying, don't piecemeal it together. Read the full counsel of God. Read it from cover to cover. Then you can see the big picture. That's what Tozer said. Abraham Lincoln, former President Abraham Lincoln, said, "The Bible is the best book God has given to man." The Bible is the best book. A lot of books. A lot of libraries. You can download books now. We read books even on our devices now. But the best book you'll ever read will be the Bible, the Word of God. And you will never let it exhaust it. Read the Bible now for years. And even as I go through the one-year Bible, even now, even today, I will see something illuminated that I had missed before. I've been reading through the Bible, and yet every year, every time I say, wow, God is illuminating. How in the world did I miss this before? You're never exhausted. You're never exhausted. That won't ever be a book. You can read and say, okay, I'm done with that. It's on the shelf. I don't want to bother with that anymore. In reference to the Bible, John Wesley, the hymn writer, the pastor, the preacher, wrote, "And in Christ, give me the book of God, and let me be a man of the book." That's Stephen B. preached at this conference. You know, are you man enough? Right. What's up, Pastor? Be man enough.
Be Christ-like.
Be Christ-like. See? Yeah, that's what he's saying. Give me the book. Let me be a man of the book. Let me be a person of the book. Martin Luther, the 15th century former Catholic priest in Germany, known as the Church Reformer, declared, and I quote, "My conscience is captive to the Word of God." Help me, somebody. How much better off will we be when our conscience is captive to the Word of God? Dwight L. Moody, the founder of the Historical Moody Church in Chicago, they named Moody Bible Institute after him, made a profound statement concerning the Bible. He said, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible." I think Moody said something right there. How many of us, as we read through that Bible, is keeping us from sin? I want to really give him a piece of my mind. I really want to tell her off, and I really hope that she would say something. All right. But I read in my Bible where I am supposed to love my enemy, where I am supposed to go with vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Yeah, this Bible will keep you from sin. When you read it, you learn of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and you understand that you are not your own, that the Holy Spirit is controlling you, controlling your tongue, your behavior. I'm telling you, read this Bible. It'll keep you from sin. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. Keep you from heartbreak and embarrassment. Then Moody says a sin will keep you from the Bible. What is it that's keeping people from reading the Bible, spending time in the Word of God? What is it? Lastly, F.B. Meyer's counsel. We should read the Bible as those who listen to the very speech of God. Mine is saying, when you read the Bible, you are listening to God making a speech to you. You open that book, God's speaking. Amen. He's pouring into your life his eternal truth, his character. In January 2020, at our Vision 2020 meeting, much of our Good Hope Church family began reading through the one-year Bible and meeting small groups. Many of y'all bought into the vision in that meeting. Not for saying that, for course, everybody, I just said, this is the vision God has given me for the church, for us to begin reading through our worldview Bibles together. Now the enemy whispered in my ear, these people, they ain't gonna do that. There's gonna be pushback from doing that. But I said, no, 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 this is from God. So began reading through our Bibles, and people began meeting in small groups, and group leaders came up and volunteered their services. Now, the joy and satisfaction that we have experienced is beyond words as we swiftly move towards completing our fourth year of systematic Bible study and meeting in group. I mean, we all can say that the joy and the satisfaction what reading through the Bible has done for me is more than I can verbally express. I've heard so many wonderful testimonies. How reading through the Bible has brought couples together. Reading through the Bible has helped people have purpose and meaning in life. People reading through the Bible say, I did not know that before. I'm growing. I have so much joy. So why do we place great emphasis on reading the Bible and here at Good Hope meeting through the one-year Bible every year? Three reasons. First, reading through the Bible, particularly with us now reading through the one-year Bible, gives you a simple plan of reading a portion of Scripture every day. Simple plan. You're going to read the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, right. Proverbs every day, 365 days a year. Now, as I shared with you when we began this journey, I remember just in Bible study, even from this pulpit, I said to you, you can complete your daily reading assignment in the one-year Bible in less time than it will take you to read. Watch a 30-minute clip. Isn't that amazing? That in less than 30 minutes, read it through your Bible. You can read it in less than just time that it takes you to watch a 30-minute program. When I say that in the Bible study, that pricks some consciousness. Some people had not thought about that. All right. Here's my humble confession. I like to do this every once in a while. I like to confess. I know y'all already know that pastor ain't perfect, make a lot of, you know, he's made mistakes. So here's my confession, all right? My humble confession. There were days in my life when I would easily watch 3 to 5 hours of television. In one day, 3 to 5 hours of television, including the local and international news. I could do that, 3 to 5. Matter of fact, some mornings I would get up, and before I heard the good news from the Word of God, I got the Good Morning America news, I got the news from the radio, and every place else. All right, can I go deeper, brother?
Go ahead.
And some sisters, too, because I know some sisters just as guilty as I was. Some Monday nights, I would spend more than 4 hours in front of the tube watching Monday night football, including the pregame show, the halftime show, and the post-game show. 4 hours. Can I say something to y'all? Shame on me. Shame on me. It's real, y'all. My Bible reading time in the Word of God, came nowhere near to my television watching time. I can only imagine these days the internet, the surfing of internet. I mean, people get up early in the morning, go to the internet, get all the news, catch up with all of the Facebook chatter, read what friends and foes have have to say, look at the clock, have to go to work or whatever the case may be, and never touch the word of God. If we touch it, it's laid on. But then just suppose God says, wait a minute, you're going to face some stuff today. And I want to meet with you early in the morning and give you a word so you will know how to respond. If I miss that time with God in the morning, I might run into some stuff. And if I cry to God, well, God would simply say to our heart, if you had come to me first, set your agenda. You might be better prepared to handle what was coming your way. So I encourage you to take personal inventory of your own time. And this is a personal thing. Nobody can judge you or make you do. My friend, Pastor Blakely Scott, has been pastoring in Columbia, South Carolina. He's been here to preach before. Told me early on, he said, Pickett, you can't force grown folk to do nothing. And we ought not be in the business of trying to force people or bully people or twist people's arms to do things. But we ought to be in the business of sharing truth with people and praying by God's Holy Spirit that they will make the right choices.
That's right. That's right.
And if they don't do it, shame on them. But if I don't share it, then shame on me. So I encourage you to take personal inventory. And I challenge you to invest time every day reading the word of God. Now, we love the 1 year. It works good for us. But if you got another method and you read it systematically through your Bible, read the word every day. Do not make excuses. Read it. It's for your own good. I encourage you to read it every day to saturate your mind. What are many minds saturated with? I can tell you just by people's behavior. People saturate their minds with a lot of things. People who are rude clerks, they saturate their mind with the wrong stuff. People who are mean and angry and bitter, nursing meanness, anger, and bitterness, they saturate their minds with the wrong things. People always worry. They're saturating the minds with all things. The Bible will tell us, Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4. Fear not, I'm with you. Philippians 4. Isaiah 41:10, brother, fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything pray. And then God will give you peace. That's the word, y'all, but if people don't read it, they don't know. I challenge you to fill your heart with biblical truth. Here at the Good Hope Church, we take Bible literacy seriously. I'm not interested in having programs. I'm not interested with people lauding me with gifts on anniversary day. I'm not interested in that. What I'm interested in is our people learning the word of God, that our biblical literacy rate goes higher and higher and higher. We want people to be students of the word, the book. I heard a pastor just had a pastor's conference last week, minister's conference. I hadn't been in over about 3 years because I told him I'm not coming as long as this pandemic is going on. And I'm definitely not encouraging our church members to wear a mask, and then I'm out here, you know, in y'all's midst. So we lifted our restrictions, and mine would lift, then I could go back again. But one pastor stood up, and he was talking about this Bible method for young people. And he was saying, we got people in teaching Sunday school that do not know the Bible. That's what he said. Well, how would you like to have an English teacher or an algebra teacher or a science teacher as you're trying to prepare yourself, or get your children prepared for school, for college, everything,
you know, in the classroom before your children, and they really don't have a clue. They haven't studied, they don't know. No, you want teachers who know the subject matter and who can convey that subject matter to your children. Yeah. Or to you if you're in higher level education. So here at the Biblical Church, our leadership takes biblical literacy seriously. In fact, so seriously that in order to join our pastoral staff and become a ministry leader, you must demonstrate a love for the Word of God, a commitment to reading God's Word and putting it into practice, because Pastor Steve, Pastor Harris, Pastor Wim want people, when they stand here preaching, we want people preaching who have read the Bible themselves. Yeah. Secondly, reading through the one-year Bible helps you avoid being misled. That's a good reason to read your Bible, y'all. It helps you avoid being misled. One of the reasons well-meaning people fall victim to religious cults, fall victim to con artists, religious con artists, tricksters, and hustlers is because of a lack of biblical knowledge. People just don't know. Well, let me just give you several examples. You already know these. I'm going to reiterate them briefly. In 1978, cult leader Jim Jones led more than 900 residents, including more than 200, some estimates say 300 children, to their death on his Jonestown religious plantation in Canada. And these people came out of well-established churches. A number of them in San Francisco came out of well-established African-American churches. They were a mixed race, a mixed breed, but here they were, all listening to Jim Jones, not preach the gospel, but preach socialism.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And preach to the people that he was the Jesus incarnate and that he was their Messiah. So they either shot them, were shot, or drank cyanide, laced, poison with punch. Jim Jones preached that he was their Messiah. Imagine that, people sitting up in there. He telling them that he's the Messiah. And folks turning over their mortgages to them and the tires to their cars and all of that kind of stuff. This is real, y'all. Obviously, many brought into Jones's warped opinion of himself. In April 1993, cult leader David Koresh, along with more than 80 members of his Davidian cult, including 25 children. Think about little children under the care of their parents, and yet they died in a fire at the cult compound in Waco, Texas. And in his book, this is documented, author Jeff Gwynn describes Koresh as, quote, a religious demagogue who took multiple teenage brides. And if you read in your Bible, you understand one man, one wife.
Amen.
Help me, somebody. And I ain't gonna even go into that. One man. If you read the book, you will know.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so
yes.
How in the world folks sitting up in this compound, yes, yes, this joker married multiple teenage wives? Then he preached that his followers would bring about conflict that would make the end of days happen in their lifetime. Well, now the Bible says no man knows the hour.
No man.
Except for God. And if you know that, then you're not going to be duped by folk with false prophecies talking about the Lord is coming back tomorrow. Well, he might come back today, but you don't know it. But you read your Bible so you can be all so ready. So whenever he comes back, if you read your Bible, you understand that because you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you good. I ain't rushing it. I'm on my way to hell. In 1997, Marshall Applewhite led 39 members of his Heaven's Gate cult to commit suicide by drinking poison. Applewhite preached, and this is what he preached, that suicide would
allow them to leave their bodies and enter an alien spacecraft. Hid behind the hellbound comet and pass through heaven's gate into a higher existence. Well, the Bible tells me that for the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
I don't need no spacecraft.
That's good.
All I need is Jesus. I close my eyes here in death. I open them there in heaven. That's the Bible, but people don't know unless they read. You need to hear somebody else say it. You need to read it and verify it for yourself. Am I right about it? I like those Bereans, don't you? Because while all of them were preaching, they were tracking along to see what they were saying was true. Now, just a couple weeks ago, brother, my prayer partner Armstrong and his sister were seated over in the church up there. And so Brother Armstrong said, "Pastor, come here. He said, who was David's oldest son?" Now, I mean, I've been preaching all these years. And so I said, Absalom. I felt pretty good. Then I said, I was talking about it. No, Absalom was not his oldest son. I see my sister Rose shaking her head. All right, who was David's oldest son?
Amnon.
Amnon was his oldest son. Then the second oldest son was Daniel. He was the daughter of Abigail. He was the daughter of Abigail. Abigail was the wife of a fool named Nabal.
Yes, sir.
He died. Check this out. When he died, Abigail married
David.
You don't hear about Daniel. Because theologians believe that he died early in the process. Right? But you don't know unless you read and listen. Even those who are proclaiming the Bible from the sacred desk are subject to make a mistake. I mean, we're all human, right? And there ain't nothing about this desk and the title makes us superhuman to the point where we don't make mistakes. Only Jesus was a perfect man. So every once in a while, I remind Sister Pickett that everybody, even me, makes mistakes. And see, here's something else the Bible teaches, right? You Bible reads one. By what measure you measure, it shall be measured unto you. So that means if I'm measuring out grace amongst a good whole family, when y'all mess up, I don't care what it is, whatever it is, you make mistakes, then when my time comes, help me somebody. I ain't finna be nailed to the ground. No, Pastor, if Pastor makes mistakes, he already told you, man. When you make them, he gonna be kind to you, he expects the same thing. But y'all, that's the book. Right? And so one might ask then, how in the world could people in these instances be so gullible? Just hearing a few years ago, about 98, you know, there was a place up there, a church up there, I mean, folk just walking over there. That's how my evangelist, he punching people in the stomach and slapping grandma, talking about the grandma, slapping all that. The lady called me. I'm calling a lady from South Carolina. Have you been? I know, because I'm passionate. I don't know what they're doing up there. But I can tell you this. Later on, they found out that he was a trickster involved with a woman secretary up there. His wife divorced him. And now when you drive by the church, that building that used to be a church, it ain't there no more. The building there, but ain't something else. Y'all see what I'm trying to tell you? You got to read and study. Know for yourself. How is it that people can be so gullible, so misinformed, so misled? The answer is simple. When of theological hocus pocus and ecclesiastical nonsense. That's all it is. A lot of this stuff y'all watching on television and it ain't nothing but hocus pocus and nonsense. And if you read your Bible, you will understand that. I mean, they had folk coming here, well-known speaker, and, you know, they opened the place up, but they said, now, if you want preferred seating, it's going to cost you $100. And then another one came, if you can come, but if you want to take a picture with him, an autographed picture, it's going to cost you, you know, fitness, 75. The higher up you go, you know, the more stuff you do, you get your picture signed, it's going to cost you a little bit more. Nonsense! You read your Bible, you find out that Jesus never charged a dime. His apostles never charged a dime for the preaching of the gospel. But if you don't know, if you don't even worry, you won't know.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, man, see me, you know, $100, I'll give you a prayer club. And then jokers out on yachts, you know, over in the Caribbean, you know, chilling. Yeah, over there chilling and eating upscale restaurants and stuff like that, and folk out there working hard every day. Jokers spending more on a drink than you making an hour. That's all I'm trying to get you to do, get home. Is continue to read your Bible. Pastor Harris, Pastor Wynn, Pastor D. We want well-informed Christians.
Amen.
Because you're going to then be highly affected. And then here's the other thing. When I know y'all reading the Bible, it don't make no difference if you go to Aunt Jane Church. They might be preaching heresy, but I know you sitting up there saying, no, that ain't right.
All right.
That ain't the Bible. I don't mind you visiting other places. They got all kind of stuff going on, hoopla, nonsense. I know that you know better. Now, you're going to feel some pressure when folk going on, you know, and folk telling you, you know, you need to stand and you need to go. And I know sometimes the pressure, okay, well, everybody looking at me, they jumping around, you know, and I ain't doing, I mean, I'm just sitting here. And so I might as well go ahead and stand. Well, you know, you got to deal with that. But here's the reality. Those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can worship God, I'm trying to tell you, in spirit and in truth, sitting there meditating on God. Now, if the spirit and truth is moving you to shout and run, go ahead and do that. But don't feel like you got to impose that on everybody else. Because the spirit might be telling them just to be quiet and meditate on me. But now, if I'm trying to force you to run like I'm running, then I'm interrupting your worship. That's not biblical. Besides that, I'll stand up on your feet. You looking at me. No, I ain't here to worship you. If I'm standing on my feet, it ain't even about you. It's about God. You got to read it, y'all. You got to understand. You know, you read the word, you prepare yourself to share. On last evening, Sister Pickett and I were with our daughter and granddaughter, Maya, daughter Dale, up there in South Carolina. We had a famous restaurant. This is probably the most famous restaurant in Charleston, South Carolina. I mean, you can look around this restaurant. You guys saw Danny Glover picture up there and Oprah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people's pictures up there. And I saw this young man. He was at another table, and he talking to the people. And then he came over to our table. And when I looked at him, I recognized who he was. I seen the picture on the outside, you know, with his dad and his dad on the pitch out there. And he was the third generation owner. So he came over and introduced himself. I said, well, yeah, you, and I called his name. I knew his name because named after the restaurant. He said, yeah, you know, my granddaddy, you know, founded this place, started this place, restaurant. And it was back in the 1800s, one-on-one. He said, how did you do? I said, man, everything was good, you know, since Piggy and Bill, they might ain't dead. In the midst of the conversation, y'all, this is what I'm telling you about God. I had on my hat, I was getting ready to go, because grandma told me, I'm going to wear your hat in the building. Now, that's your woman now. female. But don't wear it, especially not in church. Right. I'm like, so I put my hat on, I'm getting ready to go. And so I had 316, John 316 on my hat. You know what this young man asked me? Young man, he said, what is that? He said, what is John 316? I mean, I'm like, I'm glad you asked, bro. I mean, that's the best question you asked all day. And so I went on to share God. I quoted it first. And I told him that, what this means. He said, what it means? I said, what it means is, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you go to heaven when you die. You spend eternity with God when you die. He looked at me and smiled. This is what he said. Quote, thank you for that. And you got people walking around in 2023, all of this money on an exclusive, well-known, famous restaurant, don't know Jesus. Don't know Jesus. So he said, thank you very much for telling me. The point is this, y'all. When you know the word, you know, when you know the word, when you practice the word, God uses the word to bring others to himself. Dr. Thomas told me, told the class, really, in freshman orientation, he said, now listen, y'all at Benedict College to get prepared. He said, now when you at the train, when the train is coming, that's not the time to run home and pack your bag. He said, you need to have your bag packed and you need to be at the station. Here's what reading through the Bible does, y'all. It packs your bag spiritually. You're standing at the station. You're standing in the class. You're sitting in the restaurant. You're in the airport. You're in the store, the grocery store. And when the train comes, you are equipped to say, oh, yes, let me tell you about Jesus. Yeah. You have to be prepared. Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy 2:15, Apostle Paul hammers home this invaluable truth. He wrote, be diligent. New King James Version says, stay. Be diligent to show, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That, y'all, is important. You got to know the word in order to share the word.
That's right.
There was a preacher some time ago, this was years ago, back when Fred's was open. I was over there, just the church woman went down. Before coming to church, went down to eat. He was out there. He was having problems in the church he was at. And so he took about 20 minutes, y'all, berating his pastor. Telling about all the mistakes his pastor made, why he don't like him, why he don't want to be there. And then this is what he said to me. He said, I was thinking about joining you all at Good Hope with all kind of bells and whistles going on in my mind. And I immediately said to him, I said, you know what? You come to Good Hope, building Pastor Jack, you're going to have books to read. You're going to have papers to write. You're going to have a sign. Now then, we wouldn't even read through the 1 year Bible at that time. But if I saw him again, it would be, and you're going to have to read your 1 year Bible, participate in a small group for a year, and we expect you to do it over and over and over again. But just with the little bit I told y'all, this is what he said to me. Oh, no, that I don't want that. But I know you don't. And we don't want you either. Because we don't want you, our staff, Dr. William, Dr. Ham, Dr. Steve. We don't want you, giving out false information, bad information. We don't want you here trying to hoop people, shout people, and carry on with all kind of trickery. Because we're interested here in biblical lyrics. Well, reading through the Bible is extremely important. I want to just leave you with this. In today's scripture text, Nehemiah 1 through 6, Ezra, watch this, y'all. Just a few more minutes and I'm done. Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly of the men and the women. Brought the book. And then he, watch this, y'all. He read the book from morning to midday. Reading scripture. Can you imagine that? Reading scripture from morning to midday. In verse and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Oh God, may you give us ears that are attentive to your word. That's what we want. Ears of people, now even church people, are attentive to so many other things instead of being attentive to the word of God. Then in verse 5, he opened the book again, and all the people stood in honor and reverence of the word of God. In verse 6, the people said, amen, lifted their hands, and then they bowed down their faces to the ground, and they worshiped God. They were so excited about the word. Oh God, would you give us an excitement about your word? Give us an unquenchable thirst and an insatiable appetite for your word. I got to have it. Y'all know that Brewster's, that ice cream out there? What's the name of it? Not Brewster, the other one out there at the Lakeside Village.
Strong Cold.
Cold Stone, so big, she know that. Cold Stone. But out of Cold Stone, they got these three cups. They got Lackey. That's a small cup. They got Love It. That's a medium size. They got to have it. Our prayer is when it comes to the word of God. Y'all say that again. Thanks, sister. This is a whole lake. Let's say that again. When it comes to the word of God, we got to have it. Let's say that again. We got to have it. Come on, one more time. Let me know you mean it. We got to have it. Let me stand. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Because we don't want to be ordinary, mundane Christians. We want to be highly effective Christians. We want to be highly effective in our homes, in our jobs, in the workplace, in the community. God, we know that your word will give us supernatural power. You give us supernatural insight, supernatural power, so that we can be supernatural in a world that so desperately needs to see Jesus' name. Last week I saw a church sign that read is one of the best signs I've seen on church. It says, today, you be the reason that people say God is good. Because sure, if you read this book daily, habitually, you will be the reason people say God is good. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to come just as you are. Listen, we read the Bible. We know that becoming a Christian is not about works. It's not about earning our way. It's not about doing good stuff. None of us deserve. But we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son, verse 7, to enter the world, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what it takes, y'all. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, Jesus Christ, he suffered, bled, and died, rose from the sea, shed his blood to save you, thou will be saved. Bless you today. If you want to be saved, just trust Jesus. Confess your sins and just ask him to come into your life. If you want to make your profession of faith today, publicly, we invite you to come down. Now, as we listen to us here in the United States or all around the world, maybe you're listening to us this morning behind prison bars. Maybe you're in a desperate situation. Whatever the case may be, today, you can come to Jesus just as you are. Don't let your past hinder you. Don't let what people say about you hinder you. Just know that Jesus suffered the blame and died for your sin. To cover whatever it is, his blood covers it all. That's you today, and you listen to us by way of technology. We invite you to connect with other Christians, a Bible-believing church, where you can grow in your faith. Amen. Who's going to tell? Yes. Let's pray, Lord. We're indebted to you for many, many things. One of the things we're indebted to you for is your word. We live in a country where we have free, easy access to your word. Yet there are many people, many countries, cultures around the world who are getting copies of scripture. It's not so easy. Lord, help us not take this privilege for granted. God, we pray that you would give us a burning desire, just as the disciples had on the Emmaus road. They said to Jesus, did not our hearts burn within us? They said about Jesus, did not our hearts burn within us as he shared the word? Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord always be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance to worship, and may the Lord Jesus Christ give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.